You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I am, and I am joined in the booth by Nick Tipa.
Kia ora.
How are you going today?
Very good. How are you going, Lily?
I'm doing great. Now, you are here to chat about the DCC's Noisy Spaces
Boom.
Project.
Let's go.
I wish I had my... I had some kind of sound effects. I do have like one and it just goes kaboom. But
I
can't keep using the one sound effect that I have. It's going to get old really quickly. So the Noisy Spaces project, it aims to cater to a range of different rehearsal needs, from newly formed band to community choirs. With the project, the DCC hopes to plug local musicians into a network of community facilities to boost opportunities to rehearse within the city. Before we get into the specifics of the project and specifically the spaces it currently includes, can you tell me a bit about where this project sprang from and its relationship to the Utiputi Live Music Action Plan?
Yeah, one of the big things coming out of the Live Music Action Plan, which is a plan that we have at the DCC that was created in collaboration with the community to help us know how we can best help serve our local musicians, the wide variety of music communities we have here in Otaputi. So we have an implementation plan, and part of the implementation plan was speaking to rehearsal needs of musicians in the city. And one of the big pieces of feedback that we've consistently had since that plan first was basically signed into being about 3 years ago, was the need for rehearsal space, the lack of accessible rehearsal spaces around the city. So this project kind of came off the back of that, and it was, I guess, an effort to energize and activate some of the community spaces that we already have here in the city, but that maybe have become less utilized in recent years. There's spaces like community halls, bowling clubs. We've got a rugby club, a couple of rugby clubs on there. Spaces that 20, 30 years ago you may have seen used more in that kind of way. But as, you know, we're in 2026, not 1996 anymore. And the people are kind of more and more siloed. You know, man, I sound like a boomer. But it's kind of true, it's a lot, like, it is just harder for people to... weirdly, to get in contact with and kind of cold call people. I think people are less trusting. I'm thinking on the side of venue owners, and I think justifiably so in some cases, less trusting of just randoms calling them up. Musicians are understandably reticent to just randomly cold call people up because you get turned down so many times for the times you actually get accepted, and it's like, why do I feel like I'm being a door-to-door salesman right now just trying to play music? And so that's kind of where Noisy Spaces came from. Like, what if we create a resource that's filled with community spaces that we've already gone and talked to, we've established a little bit of a relationship to begin with, and the main thing is we've established that there is an enthusiasm and a desire there from the people running those spaces, those awesome community spaces, to have musicians in the spaces, to have crazy noise coming out of the spaces. So... that's what we've kind of got with Noisy Spaces, is currently a list of 15 different venues around the city that are keen to have musicians come and use them.
Yeah. I think you're totally right on it, especially for young musicians and just young people in the community who might not have seen that a huge community like push in their lives, because we're a lot more separated in 2026, and thinking that you could just call up a community hall or something and be like, oh, can I rehearse there? It's not even something that may be on their radar.
I think that's so true. And honestly, for me, I'm like, even if Noisy Spaces inspire some kids to call up their local community space, whether it is or not on the Noisy Spaces project, I think that's a win for the project. It's kind of reminding people, like, we can do this. You totally can do this. It's not the hardest thing in the world, although it sometimes may feel really... you know, awkward and uncomfortable. Like, that's all good. Like, you could do it. You could do it, people.
And you're probably talking to someone who's a lot older than you on the other end of the phone, who probably is more used to, you know, people coming in and using these spaces in the past, and probably love it if some young people came in and used them again.
Totally. I mean, we have a really interesting mix of spaces in Otaputi, just with our community spaces in general. Some of them are really, really highly utilized and really busy. And some are kind of struggling. Like, yeah, they are struggling to pay the bills, struggling to pay the rent. There are these beautiful halls. There's a couple down in Brighton. There's the Robertson Memorial Hall in Ocean View, and then there's the Brighton Hall in Brighton itself. Both beautiful spaces. Yeah. Brighton Hall is like over 100 years old, and like, you know, especially if you're practicing in summer. In winter, you might want to rug up, bring a hot water bottle, tuck it under your jacket. But it's there are really awesome, awesome spaces that I think, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you would have had your community dances happening in them.
Yeah.
And you would have had, and they probably still do, I imagine, have like little markets and things like that in them. So I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of golden era thinking from me as well. I was like, let's use these spaces, people. They're so cool.
I mean, they're there, you know. You've got to use them.
Yeah.
Obviously, noise complaints, hot topic in Dunedin.
Bring them on.
Bring them on. And have contributed to the closure of multiple venues. Was there a kind of process that y'all had for checking if these spaces were maybe going to get noise complained if there was someone playing the drums?
For sure. That was probably the big consideration for the project. And then the name as well, obviously being a bit of a nod to our wonderful recent history we have here in the city. So the big thing was just establishing what the relationship was like between the venues and the neighbours. And a lot of these spaces are, well, not a few of them for sure, the neighbours are the people who actually take care of the hall spaces. So they're kind of like, yeah, we're fine with it. And you're like, cool, you're fine with it. I guess it's fine then. We also have a hard 10 p.m. time limit on all of the spaces, bar maybe the gas works and Hoopers Inlet Hall, which is so kind of remote, or in the case of Gasworks, it's in an industrial area with no housing, and also a lot of it's double glazed, so it's actually a really great space for making a lot of noise. And at any time of the day, Hoopers Inlet, there's not a house for maybe 3 kilometres around, so you're
kind of... quite impressive if you got a noise complaint.
oh yeah. So, but it's 10 p.m. kind of cutoff time, which I think suits the needs of a rehearsal space rather than a venue space. That's the kind of the targeting. Yes, it's rehearsal space because most people won't be rehearsing past 10 p.m.
Yeah,
most people will be kind of wrapping before then. Not everyone.
You'd hope so.
Not everyone.
Get some sleep.
People, you know, I've been to a few 1 a.m. band practices.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So basically, that relationship, and then we also kind of I went and visited each of the spaces as well, and kind of ascertained what sort of either natural noise dampening stuff there is in the space. I'm no engineer. I'm not claiming to be, but basically simple things like, does the space have carpet in it?
Yeah.
Does the space even have carpet on the walls, maybe? Is it double glazed? Things like that are just like kind of basics that you go, okay, well, that is naturally, there's going to be a little less sound spill coming out of this space. But it will also kind of be an ongoing project, like, but it is by no means like, well, you've got a space next to you now and you have to deal with it. It's nothing like that. It's like, you know, if there are issues, we'll deal with them as they come up, and we'll aim to find solutions that kind of work for the community and the musicians and the spaces. And yeah,
totally. It's a hard thing to know straight off the bat before.
That's it's a pilot, and we'll probably know 6 months down the track how we can kind of make things better. If there are venues that just don't work, then maybe they'll kind of come off. And conversely, if you have a space that you run in town and you think it might be a good fit for the Noisy Spaces project, please get in touch with us at aratoi@dcc.govt.nz. I think that's it. You can look us up online, but just flick us an email because we'd love to have a chat to you about when we do the refresh, getting your venue added onto the list as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Otupoti is a city that very much brands itself on its musical history, and like many cities and towns across the Motu, it's a struggle for venues and musical spaces to survive. Personally, we've had so many young artists and students particularly come through and be like, are there any rehearsal spaces? Do you guys know where to rehearse? Do you have any leads on that?
You're flat. I'm such a cantankerous old man. I'm like 31. I'm like, just rehearsing, you're flat already. Bloody hell.
You said at the project that these connections help bolster our local music ecosystem. Where do you see the future of Otupoti's music ecosystem and infrastructure?
Awesome question. I mean, I would just love to see the community as a whole, taking more of an ownership of our present-day music scene. Well, our many present-day music scenes, because it's not actually a monolith here as much as it sometimes is branded that way.
Yeah.
There's many different people making many different cool kinds of music. I think certain communities naturally have a tendency for their community to kind of take a real ownership over it, but it would be really cool to see, I guess, cross-genre, cross-cultural pride in the stuff that we make.
Yeah.
I think about when some of the best gigs I've been to have been those gigs where you have like the three different people playing and they're like a complete random mix of genres. Like you've got like kind of a folky band playing with like a hardcore band playing with like whatever else. And it's this like, you get this wee slice, at least in the band scene, like this slice of like contemporary music that's like, oh, this is otsupotsi. You know, it's not one thing because, we live in this time where music from all around the world is like accessible so easily, so we're constantly inspired by not only like it was back in that like 70s, 80s and 90s of like what you could get your hands on a record or the bands you were playing with. We can now listen to like some random tiny bedroom artist and this is not new, right? This is 20 years it's been going on for, but I think we're at a point where like the quality, particularly of the younger generation of musicians coming through, just gets better and better and better. As like,
is there influenced by more music from the outside?
As influenced by more music from the outside, but also influenced by like the actual standard of music being produced. Just like the technical ability just keeps rising, and which is so cool. I also super heartening with like the dumbing down, like increasing usage of AI. It's really awesome to see technical skill still like increasing, sort of in defiance to that. Anyway, that was a rant.
You really are in your old man era today.
That's old man, old man Corey. And I don't have anyone else from Outer Toy here to rein me in and be like, you shouldn't say that. You're representing the DCC.
But you've said it to yourself.
It's all good.
Don't worry. Nick has reprimanded himself here.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, Shane. Sorry, team. Okay.
Beyond the world of music, can these spaces be used for other kinds of slightly noisy rehearsals? I'm thinking like theatre or dance.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, it's come out of the live music action plan. So it's targeted and marketed towards musicians foremost. But there is absolutely nothing. Like what noisy spaces is it's just a link. It's like, here is some contact details. Which aren't on the actual physical resource. You have to go online to get the contact details.
Of course.
We made it. I don't know. I just felt weird about putting all of people's like email addresses and phone numbers on a physical resource. I don't know why weird about it. I was just like, no, this is kind of you go follow the QR code, go online, check it out. It has more of the details on there. It's just a link. It's a way, it's kind of turning your cold call into a warm call, if that makes sense.
An expected call.
Exactly. You know, if you're going to email these people or call the people, the contacts, that they are aware that you might be getting in contact and they'll probably be quite friendly.
Yeah.
So answering your actual question and not going on a tangent, yes. Theatre, awesome. Use the spaces. Dance, awesome. Use the spaces. I don't know how many sprung floors there are in them, which is often quite a big thing for dance, but there's definitely spaces. I think South Dunedin Presbyterian Church halls already have quite a bit of dance going on in there, in their front hall space. Or at least traditionally they have, because when you go in and look at that floor, it's like there are heel marks in that floor.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sight of like a well-worn dance floor, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not just for music, so.
And it takes you back to a time where bands did rehearse mainly in halls before there was any dedicated space, and it just, or like local churches and things like that.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing better than just being in a room that smells slightly musky with really old paintings on the wall.
Oh, so good. And some of them have storage as well. Some of them have a bit of storage and have a bit of capacity to store a bit of band gear for people who want to be regular hires as well. So it's not even like, you don't necessarily have to lug all your gear in and out every time.
Nice.
what I would encourage people to do is, if you've got a crew of two or three bands who kind of jam together and play gigs together, to try and find one space, particularly if it has storage, because then you could take your gear that you kind of share between you and then just keep it there. And then you've got your kind of sweet practice space set up with,
Hot tip.
I don't know. There's good ways to do it.
There are.
Doesn't even have to be a noisy spaces space. Could be another cool space you find, but...
Exactly.
They're out there.
So it is... There are physical ones. I don't know if they can hear that. ASMR. There are physical little booklets with a map of all the spaces. I imagine you can find these across town. Yep. And then there is the online version as well through the DCC website. Has a QR code on the back. You get all the details. It gives you some great... has a great little key. Tells you if they're accessible, if there's off-street parking, equipment available, storage available, acoustic treatment and capacity, and low, mid, and high. I'm imagining that's volume.
Availability.
Availability.
Yeah. So how often the venue is currently being used. Is the tag's availability, is that what it says? So I think low availability is the space is busy, like there's lots of other co-pupper going on, often like children's birthdays or, you know, rugby practices or whatever else. And then high availability of some of those spaces like our, the Hoopers Inlet Hall and down in at Ocean View as well. There are also more spaces. There are a couple of spaces that didn't make the list because we were kind of going for a geographical spread to try and spread the different halls and that out around town. So, they are by far not the only halls. I think the list of spaces that I was looking at was like close to 100.
Oh, wow.
And I think I got in contact with maybe 30 to 40 and then until I reached like, okay, cool, we've got a good spread. And when we need to find more, I'll keep carrying on through that list and getting in touch with people. So there are spaces out there.
Yeah.
There are so many spaces out there.
You've got to be curious and you got to go find them.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of fun. It's like a little, you know... finding little bits of treasure, just like community treasure.
Exactly. And then who knows, maybe if you're nice to the people who run it, they'll bring you cookies or something.
Exactly.
There's lots of goodness in this world. You just have to find it.
Oh yeah, you'll find your local karate club, you know, down at the local hall. You can do a collab. Get them in your music video.
Exactly. Use the halls for music videos.
Exactly. Oh, yes. I mean, a couple of those spaces are really good for recording as well. Hoopers in the Hall would be a great place. I think the Chills recorded there once.
I look, you're going to make 50-year-olds angry at me now because I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. Yeah.
Chills. Awesome.
Yeah, love the Chills.
Yeah.
I do know who the Chills are.
Yeah. Okay, unironically. They're great. This is just us being 31 and the age that Lily is.
Yeah. I'm glad that you can't read it. There's nothing about me that screams a certain age.
I'm not going to put that out there.
Oh, thank you. I don't want them to know either.
Cool. Perfect.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nick. It's available on the DCC website. I imagine you can also find links to it on the Aratoi Instagram and Facebook pages. Go get yourself a copy around town. And if you want to sign up your own space, you can email aratoi@dcc.gov.nz. For the refresh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Coming up next on the program.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.